This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Compassionate God, your love, your mercy, your forgiveness knows no bounds. Continue to turn our hearts so that our love, our mercy, and our compassion and forgiveness too will have no bounds. Amen. Forgiveness is not easy. Let us watch this first illustration. Heart-wrenching, bringing into our own memories those times when we have been incredibly, deeply hurt. And yet the call that we are given is to forgive. To understand this, we need to go back as we did last Sunday. The transfiguration and the revelation of who Jesus is and the corresponding vision and mission for our own life as a result that has nothing else than for us to do all that we can to work for the salvation of all people. Forgiveness reminds us that salvation has especially to do with one person, myself. Forgiveness has to do with me. Because unless I can forgive, I end up being a prisoner to my mind's desire for revenge. I become trapped and unable to become all that God would have me to be. It doesn't discount the hurt, the wrongful nature of what was done to me, but the process of forgiveness is the only way that I can move forward into a fruitful future. There's another practical reason why forgiveness is essential. It is good for our health, our physical, our emotional, and our spiritual health. Scientific studies have been done in recent years proving the positive value of forgiveness. PBS did a documentary on this subject a few years ago. I'd like to show you a little clip from that summarizes their findings.
Take me, a black man. If I should spend all of my time talking about slavery, the Middle Passage, and what the system and oppressors have done for me or to me, I suspect that I might not live the quality of life that I ought to live. Even other peoples who have been the objects of mass exterminations, whether it's the Armenians, or whether it's the Jews, or whether it's Native Americans or black people, But at some point, there has to be the movement beyond the fixation that by my holding this in my mind, in some way, I am going to improve the situation or reverse the situation or show adequate atonement for the situation. These offenses can never be adequately atoned, even if we stayed up all night saying, I hate them, 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 and then get another group to pick up where you left off. It is not possible to achieve by vigilance in anger and revenge what the soul is longing for. The soul wishes peace.
Really what's interesting is what happens if you decide that you're going to hurt them. Just as you make that decision, you know, I'm going to make them pay. All of a sudden, in your brain, the pleasure pathways just fire up. This is the same pleasure pathways that light up when you have a craving for a food, when you have a craving for chocolate. So we have a biological process that's happening in our brain that rewards us for paying people back when they do something that we didn't like. What really was interesting?
If, as some believe, the soul wishes peace, but the brain seeks sweet revenge, is that a formula for confusion? The majority of faith traditions have always valued forgiveness, but now there is a growing body of scientific evidence that says holding on to grudges is harmful, and that forgiveness is good for health. Dr. Everett Worthington at Virginia Commonwealth University and Dr. Kathleen Lawler-Rowe at East Carolina University are two of the many scientists around the world now looking at the value of forgiveness using measurements like breathing patterns, heart rate, blood pressure, and sweat.
In 1998, there were about 58 studies that studied forgiveness scientifically. In 2005, we located about 950 studies. So between 1998 and 2005, the scientific study of forgiveness absolutely exploded.
To what extent do you still feel either a grudge or negative feelings when you think about this man and these childhood experiences?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm able to be neutral. I feel my heart beating right now. So I wouldn't say I'm able to be neutral, but I'm able to be much less affected.
When I bring people into the laboratory, I ask them to tell me about a time when someone deeply upset you, hurt you, betrayed you. And some people immediately say, well, where do you want me to start? I have a long list. They could talk about lots of different people in that context. Other people sit and think and think and think and struggle to come up with something. And I think that's part of the forgiving personality is more forgiving people are just a little less aware of being offended.
How you feel in terms of forgiveness towards this man. And if one means I don't forgive him at all and I hope, you know, terrible things happen to him, and 10 is we're completely reconciled and we're it's as though it never happened.
I don't know, a 5 or a 6?
When a person walks into the laboratory, we have a few minutes where they sit and we try to get a resting level. And interestingly, highly forgiving people have lower blood pressure just walking around in the world every day. But when we bring them into the lab, we ask them about a time when someone betrayed them, and everybody's blood pressure increases when they talk about this emotional moment.
During the ride home that, you know, he wanted me to come to his dorm with him, and, you know, I said no and stuff. And we talked a little bit outside, and he was being kind of pushy. He had me in the corner at one time, being just very violent and aggressive.
But the amount of initial increase is really not the critical factor. The critical thing is how long that blood pressure remains elevated. And people who are talking about a time that they are still very unhappy about and that they have not been able to resolve or forgive. Their blood pressure stays elevated for a longer period of time.
Okay, this shows you blood pressure when we started out is very normal, very healthy, 121 over 83. And then as you start talking about this event, it goes up to 156 over 87 and then 164. Goodness. And here it's 184 over 127.
Oh my goodness.
This is an event that really triggers a reaction in you.
I really don't like that guy, do I?
No.
Oh, wow. But at least
many of the stories that I have heard have been profoundly disturbing, and the person will never forget what has happened to them. But I have seen instances of people completely coming to resolution about it. They show the pattern of the forgiving person, that their blood pressure increases, but it drops off as they talk about it, and they're very quickly back to normal. Or someone else may have a far more trivial incident, but if they're hanging on to it for dear life, you see the pattern of the maintenance of blood pressure and the slow recovery. So I don't think the severity determines the health effects. It's really how the person is able to kind of incorporate this past experience into their lives.
Forgiveness is good for our health. But now we come to the gospel today. Jesus gives us a third reason why forgiveness is crucial. None of this diminishes the hurt. None of it diminishes the wrongful nature of the acts that were perhaps committed against us. We think of Joseph in that first reading, who had every reason on earth to have his brothers killed for what they did to him. And yet his heart enables him to go to another place. And the history of the people of Israel changes as a result. Even Jesus on the cross, who had every reason in heaven to have his Father condemn those who crucified him, prays for forgiveness. And now we come to this gospel where we have this incredible parable. A man owes 10,000 talents. This is a significant number. Talent, the biggest denomination of money that they would have known in that time. And 10,000, the biggest number that you could write in the Greek language. Basically, Jesus is saying, this man owes the national debt of the United States. If this man was Donald Trump, he would not have enough money ever to pay this debt. And what happens? The master wipes it out. He goes from there, and somebody owes him 100 denarii, the wages of a normal worker for 100 days. The national debt, wages of 100 days. Everything forgiven for owing the national debt, and now somebody owes me 100 denarii. How could he not forgive that debt? What Jesus is doing here is trying to help us to understand, unless we can think not with the mind of God, but with the heart of God, forgiveness will never be in our heart. Some final thoughts in this last video.
To begin to talk about forgiveness is not to tell folks to forgive their enemies. That's hard as the beginning point. First, let them think about how much forgiveness God has had to grant them from their childhood up to their level of maturation. They have had to make withdrawals from the bank of grace many, many times.
Forgiveness will not be possible until compassion is born in your heart. Even if you want to forgive, you cannot forgive.
We can all be tolerant for a while until something really pushes our buttons, and then we get triggered back into a deeper memory. But forgiveness allows us to actually let go of the pain in the memory. And if we let go of the pain in the memory, we can have the memory, but it doesn't control us. And I think it's the fact that when memory controls us, we are then the puppets of the past.
To not be the puppets of the past. Forgiveness enables us to move on. Forgiveness is good for our health, physical, spiritual, and emotional. And we look to see how much God has forgiven us. The words that scrolled on the screen at the end of that first video were these. When deep injury is done to us, we never recover until we forgive. Forgiveness does not change the past, but it does enlarge the future. These words were written by Mary Karen Reed in her journal that she kept. It was the last entry that she wrote into her journal before she became one of the victims of the Virginia Tech shootings some years ago. May her words be that which moves our hearts, that forgiveness might enlarge our future. The video showed that there is everything in our mind that will tell us to seek revenge when we're hurt. Maybe that's why Jesus ends the parable by saying, we need to forgive our brothers and our sisters, not from our mind, but from our heart. May our hearts be opened. Amen.